Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher," referring to Jesus, "I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Bring the boy to me," Jesus said. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. The murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Well, last week we talked about doubt and its creep into our lives right about the time when we need to step out in faith, like Joshua needed to do standing on the banks of the Jordan River after God chose him to replace Moses. He doubted that he was the right one. Doubt always seems to appear to undermine our faith. Often when we're facing something new, something difficult, something maybe we've done before and we're just not sure now if we can do it again, something unexpected, some uncertainty before us, maybe even some river to cross or mountain to climb. And there it is. Doubt, sure enough. And the message we heard from the book of Joshua, in those moments where we are facing our own Jordan rivers, when doubt begins its stealthy creep into our lives, was this: to turn to God, to be strong and courageous. Three times God told Joshua, not that he was a slow learner like me, but he wanted Joshua to understand that he was there, and to remember that God would be with him as he is with us whenever and wherever we go and with whatever we face. Today, a look at our doubt in the context of our own personal relationship with God. In the midst of all that we face in our lives, God knows we will have moments of doubt when we're not sure about what he's doing or whether he's even there or whether he cares about us or our future. But he does care, and he understands how we're feeling, and he stands ready to help us through. Look, my friends, we're not hypocrites to God. We're less of a follower of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit because we have those moments of doubt, sometimes even deep doubts. God gets it. He understands. But our usual response when we doubt God's promises and God's word, when we wonder why things happen, and we worry about what tomorrow will bring, is that we begin to question our faith. And we feel less about ourselves, and we begin to question ourselves. We tend to drift away from God's side, wondering at times if we'll ever get to a place where doubt is not a part of our lives. In the passage we read a moment ago, Jesus had just returned from having taken three of his apostles, Peter and James and John, up on a nearby mountain, probably either Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor. And while they were there, they saw Jesus transfigured and were given a brief glimpse of his divinity in that, as his face shined as the sun and his garments were glistening white, the transfiguration. The other nine apostles were left in the valley below and had felt Christ's absence in a rather humiliating way, in that they had been asked by that father to perform a miracle on his son, to heal his son, but they were unable to do so. So when Jesus returned from the mountain, the man with the demon-possessed son is still there seeking a miracle. The nine apostles who Jesus left behind couldn't get the job done. And so there they were, and there we have it. Jesus standing there before the man, before the dad, and his demon-possessed son. And the dad says to Christ, "Have mercy on us and help us heal my son if you can." To which Jesus responds with a tone of dismay, perhaps, maybe even slight irritation and disbelief. "If I can? What do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes," he says. And the man, probably a bit embarrassed, but still so desperate with the situation his son finds himself in, opens himself up to Christ and says, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." "I do believe who you are," he pleads. And in so many different ways, he says, "I do believe you can heal my son, as you have healed so many others. I'm just desperate, and no one has been able to heal or help my son. And so I do have some doubt. So please heal my son, but also please help me with my unbelief. Please don't hold my doubt against me, Lord, but instead, please help me to overcome my doubt, and please heal my son." And Jesus did what he had done so many times before. He understood. He got it. And then he healed the man's son. And in that, the man's doubt was moved at least one step closer to belief and a growing faith in Christ. We should all be able to identify with that man. We doubt. We worry. We wonder what will happen next. We can't change things. We question our decisions. We wonder what to do next. We don't have the answers, and sometimes we don't even know where we're going. So we allow doubt to control our lives. We tend to view and define our faith a bit unrealistically. So when we fall short in our faith, in other words, when we doubt, we start beating ourselves over the head with a baseball bat, as I've said before. We condemn ourselves. We feel guilty when we fall short of the mark. Guilty when we begin to doubt. We question our faith, and we wonder what God might think of us. But here's the thing about God and about God's grace. Christ understood that father standing before him who asked him to help with his unbelief, to help him when he doubted. And Christ does that for us, for you and me today. He understands what we're going through, and he understands that we will doubt. We can't see it all in front of us. We want to trust, but we have trouble trusting what we can't see, don't we? God gets that, and he is always ready to help us to a better place, a place beyond doubt, to faith in him. Look, a life of faith is not a life without doubt. Some of the great characters of the Bible had doubts. Abraham doubted when God told him to go, and he would make him the father of all nations, wondered where to go, and he just said, "Go," and Abraham went. And then at age 100, and his wife Sarah at age 90, Abraham laughed when God told him that Sarah would have a baby. And then Isaac was born. Moses doubted, but God used him to free and lead his people to the banks of the Promised Land. Joshua doubted, but God carried him across the Jordan River into the Promised Land with 2 million children of God following. James, the half-brother of Jesus, doubted, didn't believe anything about Jesus until after the resurrection. The apostles doubted and eventually scattered like frightened sheep when the Roman soldiers came after Christ to nail him to the cross. There is no shortage of those who, through the years, in trying to be strong in their faith in Christ and all he wanted for their lives, have found themselves at times doubting what God said and what God had promised for their lives. I think each one of us today can identify with them. Doubt and faith are not opposites, but doubt serves to provide us with an opportunity to grow, to reach through our periods of doubt and become stronger in our faith, especially when we see that time after time after time, God has faithfully delivered on what he said he would do and carried us through whatever it was we faced. Faith does not mean we won't doubt. God knows that. He knows us, And God loves honesty in our relationship with him, and he wants us to be honest with him when we doubt, like that father of that demon-possessed boy. God wants us to come to him, and like the writers in so many of the Psalms, why I love the Psalms, they're so honest. Why those writers did so many times, they came to him and beat on his chest, so to speak, with frustration and anger and yelled, "Why, Lord? And help me, Lord. Have you forgotten about me, Lord?" Look, faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is our decision to move through doubt when it creeps in and to continue to pursue and grow in our relationship and fellowship with God. To keep asking God to help us with our unbelief and to give us just enough faith for the moment, for that next step, that next decision, and then do it again for tomorrow and the next day and the next. Christian faith is not about knowing everything about everything, but it is about growing closer to God each day and getting better and better at trusting the God who does know everything about everything and always wants the best for us. Did you hear that? And always wants the best for us. Our journey through life is an adventure full of joys and heartaches, faith and doubt. Along the way, we'll have periods of absolute faith and trust, but also moments of heart-wrenching doubt. But God's love for us is not based on our perfection or performance, thank goodness. He loves us. He loves us because we are his. And he knows we'll have periods of doubt, but that's okay because he knows the way. So just always seek and follow him. Step by step, by step. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you. Wow, for this message in the Gospel of Mark. That's us. That's me, Lord, that Father. That's my friends. We've all been there, doubt. But Lord, continue to help us with our unbelief. Help us with our doubt. Help us in those moments of doubt to move forward, to take that next step we can see and to continue to move forward in faith. Knowing that you've got us, knowing that you love us, and knowing you always want the best for us. And then you know what the future holds for us. So thank you for that, Lord. And help us with you to do that for others. Continue to grow us, Lord, into all that you want us to be. Continue to help us with our unbelief as you call us forward to help you spread the kingdom of God to all those around us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.